Jeff sent me a WhatsApp saying, I can't for the life of me think of any motive for sabotaging Eskom. No one gains at all. Diesel sales or Jennies, I guess you mean generators. I suppose those are the people who could gain. Why don't we turn to James Brenstein, author and provincial government spokesperson, who's going to give us an unpacking of President Ramaphosa's announcement that we will not have any load shedding over the Christmas festive season, notwithstanding the claim of sabotage. Good morning, James Brent. Thank you for joining us on Breakfast with Refilwe.
Hi, Rafila. Good morning. Good to be with you.
Indeed. President Ramaphosa says, you know, one of the factors that contributed to our recent rolling power cuts was sabotage. Do you have a view on this?
Look, I suppose it'll have to be investigated. I just find it a very, very strange comment to make. The comment made was that there was a switch flipped or something like that, which put off 2,000 megawatts. And created was part of the reason why we were dumped into stage six earlier this week. But you know, how many people would have access to that kind of facility to do that? And when asked whether anyone's been suspended or arrested, the comment was that it's still being investigated. So it's very unusual. I mean, that is such a big claim to make. I don't think you make something like that lightly. And then to say that, you know, well, doesn't seem like anyone's been arrested or suspended. So if it was sabotage,
then
people are most likely still there in any case, and that's even greater concern. So I don't suspect sabotage. We'll have to see what happens. This happened in 2006, by the way, when Alec Irwin, the former Minister of Public Enterprises, claimed that a sabotage had been committed at Coburg and a bolt had been thrown into one of the reactors. And of course, that happened a day before the local government elections of that year. So, and then later it turned out it was, I believe it was a bit of negligence at this time, complete, you know, just by accident kind of stuff. So we'll have to see what the outcomes would be.
So, James Brent, then let's talk about the stuff we can measure. You wrote the book, Blackout, the Eskom Crisis. You have a good sense of the mechanics and, I suppose, the inner workings of Eskom. What do you think happened last week that led us to load shedding?
Look, I want to be very balanced and fair and say that in a sense, Eskom was hit by a perfect storm from multiple sides. The sort of rain that they've been having up north in Mpumalanga is really, you know, Genesis chapter 5 kind of stuff. One of the coal mines, open cast mines, so it's a very big open area where you scrape the coal basically off the surface. Got 180 millimeters of rain. So impossible to move coal basically in those conditions. And as it was stated, the Eskom had built up its stockpiles at those coal power stations linked to these kind of mines where it rained so heavily. But the rain kept falling. So once you dig into those stockpiles, the outside is wet initially and you want the dry coal inside. But once you crack that shell on the outside and you get to the inside coal, it's getting wet immediately. And actually, the comment was made, if they hadn't built up those stockpiles, we would have been in much, much worse situation than stage six. So that was an interesting comment made yesterday. The other thing that hit them out of the blue was a technical problem at Medupi, one of the newest power stations in Lephalale, which is in Ellis Ross up in Limpopo. And there seems to have been an electrical challenge. They lost two electrical power cables that was also working on conveyor belts taking coal into the power station. That's a 4,800 megawatt power plant, and that went offline very quickly. So it's almost like it was a perfect storm. So when they say that we should be okay moving forward from roughly the 17th of December, there's, you know, it's likely that might be the case.
All right. Now, moving forward, I mean, yeah, let's talk about that 17th of December. That's a critical date. What are the likelihood and what would have to be put in place in order for the president's promise that there'll be no load shedding between that date and January 13 to actually be upheld? I don't know if you heard our business update, but Arabile Gumede, who does our business, I think it conveys the sentiments of many South Africans that it didn't feel as though we really got a clear step-by-step plan in terms of how to move forward, not just to January 13, but beyond.
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't think the president came across very convincing. But I do think perhaps that Eskom's managing the COO, the chief operations official, he made some comments that I think was a little reassuring, including that Eskom has done a lot of maintenance over the past few months, and those units are now all coming back online, scheduled to be coming online from the 17th. So with a lot of extra units that have now been offline for extra maintenance now coming back with the bulk of the rain finished, you know, the likelihood, it makes sense logically to me. Now, what is concerning to me is that we have been here before. We've seen this movie before. We've heard the story before. There won't be any more load shedding. President Zuma promised that, you know, quite vehemently. President Ramaphosa has promised that. The ANC has promised that. I mean, we've heard this promise before, and yet we've been hit with increasing stages of load shedding. In a sense, we've got to accept that the power stations, on average, 37 years old, and many of them much older, many of them close to 50 years old. So they're vastly and increasingly unreliable. And actually, while Eskom might you know, fully mean that we won't see load shedding, they themselves probably can't predict what might happen. And I think that unpredictability remains a massive cause for concern.
Okay, so in terms of these promises, I mean, the January 13th is now when South Africa's really effectively back at work. How much of this keeping this promise is going to be actually done by the fact that this is our downtime, productive downtime, which might mean that consumption will come down anyway? I mean, he's literally earmarked the festive season.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting question, and I think that I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. I'll tell you why. Mm. I think that Eskom is going to be using the downtime to take other units offline to do maintenance in any event. They actually did say that. So in other words, while the demand might be slightly less because of the festive season, that also gives Eskom a bit of breathing room to do additional maintenance on some of these very old power stations. And they said they will be doing that. So the system will be quite tight continuously, even though it might now be the festive season, because they need to do that necessary and urgent maintenance on some of those other units where work might still have to be done. So the system is still going to be constrained, I think. And then, you know, heading into January, hopefully those units where they'll be working on over these weeks will then also be able to be ready to help us into the new economic year. But look, we should be under no illusions. I think we're in for a world of pain still. I estimate at least another 2 years. If everything goes well, we've got to understand Eskom is bankrupt. There's no money, really, to do a lot of the massive maintenance and work that needs to be done. My other massive worry is the lack of new additional generation capacity coming online. I mean, the last 2 mega power stations we're talking about, Medupi, Kusile, they're not even completed yet, but let's imagine for a second they are. They're nearly there. What else is coming beyond that to help boost the generation system? At the moment, nothing. And that's very concerning. And if you think that Medupi and Kusile has been taking 12 years to build, even if we start a new power station today, that means 2030, 2031, 2032, we might expect new bulk power stations. And that's why I think it's vital. It's vital that we start seeing the independent power producers come in. We need to see municipalities being able to go out to market and say, we want to invite people to come and build a power plant of 10 megawatt or 5 megawatt. And the beauty about that is the independent power producers will be able to go and get their own finance. The thing that they need and want is a power purchase agreement. So you need, as a municipality, for example, to say, we will give you a 30-year guarantee at a rate of 1.20 rand per kilowatt hour. Then they go and get their own finance. So it's not going to be a burden on the fiscus. It won't be a burden on Eskom. It will actually help us with generation. And the last final thing about that is they have the ability to build that very quickly. You know, within a year and a half to 2 years, we'll see some new additional generation capacity. So I frankly don't see any other option left. Eskom doesn't have the ability or the money to do it, and we certainly need additional generation capacity.
Got it. James Brent-Stallion, thank you so much for your perspectives. Author of Blackout, The Eskom Crisis, and also spokesperson for the Western Cape Government. What are your thoughts?